A few years ago, a group of law professors and students at Northwestern University opened a center to help overturn death sentences using DNA evidence. Now, that group is trying to change the way minors are interrogated by police. Those interrogations sometimes lead to false convictions. Stephen Drizin is the legal director at the new Center on Wrongful Convictions of Youth, and he joins me from Chicago. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Tell me about the background of this project. Why did you start it?
About 15 years ago, as a lawyer, I was involved in a case of an 11-year-old boy who had confessed to murdering his 83-year-old neighbor. And the only evidence against him was a confession. And that confession was not recorded. It was a written confession by a police officer. And the child told me I didn't do it. And as I began to unpack the case, I believed him and learned that he had been questioned in the same manner that police officers question adults.
How was he coerced?
He was interviewed in a confrontational manner by law enforcement officers outside the presence of his parents or a guardian, and police officers told him that God would forgive him if he confessed, that he could go home to his brother's birthday party. They lied to him about the evidence. They said they had his fingerprints on the murder weapon. And after just a few hours of that, he caved in and he agreed to a preconceived story that the police officers had scripted for him.
And you found that this is a widespread problem?
It is a widespread problem. Police officers are now trained to interrogate juvenile suspects just as if they were adults.
Are you working with the police to perhaps change the way they interrogate minors?
We are. The most important thing is to electronically record the entire interrogation process.
And that's not being done now?
It is not being done in most jurisdictions, but not just recordings of interrogations of suspects. When children are involved, you need to record children who are both suspects, witnesses, and victims, because they are particularly vulnerable to police persuasion.
And should there be guidelines in the way that minors are questioned?
There's no question about it. I think that we need to limit the length of interrogations when you have a minor in the box. I would say no interrogation of any child should last more than a few hours. I think that there should be repeated breaks, food breaks, bathroom breaks, the opportunity for children to sleep.
Presumably, a police officer might say to you, you will be tying my hands. I mean, many of the young people that I'm interrogating are violent criminals and are committing violent crimes.
And my answer to them would be, you're relying far too heavily on confession evidence in order to convict somebody, and that you need to build your cases not only with confession evidence, but you need to corroborate those confessions. When you get a suspect who admits to a crime, the investigation is supposed to begin at that point and not end at that point. In almost every one of these cases, once a confession is obtained, all investigation stops.
Stephen Drizin teaches law at Northwestern University and is the legal director at the new Center on Wrongful Convictions of Youth. Professor Drizin, thank you so much.
Thank you.